Again, it's certainly a blessing to be here. I'm very thankful for the desire that each one of you had to be here. And I would just ask that you would continue to pray for this service. Pray for me that the time that I stand before you, that we might all get something that's beneficial out of the Word of God. And, you know, the Word of God was given to us, written aforetime for our learning and for our comfort, for our instruction. It wasn't written to make you a child of God. It was written to you because you are a child of God. It's a manual on how to live, and yet it's very lightly used, in my opinion. We have challenges in this life and struggles in this life, and Jesus made it clear we're all going to have them. We, in our carnal nature, have a tendency to believe that our problems are far more severe than other folks' problems and that they don't have those difficulties. But as the old saying goes, it's always greener on the other side of the fence. If you'll just go graze over there for a while with those folks, you'll find out that some of their troubles may be even worse than your own. But sometimes we don't know the trouble of folks. Most of the time we don't. And so therefore, we understand that as sinners, as children of God, we battle all kinds of circumstances, challenges, and difficulties each and every day of our life. So let's pray for one another and continue to pray that God would bless us and fill us with the Spirit of the Lord and that He would pour out the Holy Ghost upon this church and His people and that we might have revival. The thought, if you would, that's on my mind is one of repentance this morning. And the question is, do we need to repent? How often do we need to repent? Is it something that we need to do every once in a while? Is it possible for us to repent? Repent really means to change. I mean, is that a possibility, or did God make us in such a way we can't? That's contrary to the teaching of God's Word, is it not? How many people do you know will tell you they can't change? This is the way I am. I've done it this way. But repentance literally means change, turn and about. We find that far and above, the most dominant note in the preaching of our Savior Jesus Christ was that of repentance. He said in Matthew, chapter 9 and verse 13, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came not to call the righteous. You know, there are folks in this world who have a tendency to believe by the reading of that scripture that there are righteous folks. But you must rightly divide the word of truth. Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Romans chapter 3, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh God." This is what Paul says. So, if Jesus came not to call the righteous, and they are righteous folks out here, then what Paul said is contrary to what Jesus said. Paul said, "There is none righteous, not one." Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came not to call those folks who thought they were righteous, who feel like they're walking the straight and narrow path and doing it all right. You know, we got a lot of folks out in life that believe that. He came to help the sick. And we've all got the same disease, and we all have many of the same symptoms. The disease is sin. We're sinners by nature, and shortly in life, after we're born, we're sinners by practice. This disease is terminal. It's going to take care of one of us at some given point in our life. And then it'll be over, and we'll be in the precious sight of the Lord forever, not to deal with these circumstances and troubles any longer. But Jesus' emphasis was on repentance. Do we need to repent? Do you feel like you need to repent? You know, when you look at the Lord and you think about your thoughts, your deeds, can you say that you need to repent? I believe repentance is an activity that needs to take place daily. And we'll go with that a little more. We're told in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." Some people would literally think by the phrasing of that word, there are righteous folks out there that Jesus needed not to tend to, that they were just so good and walked in such a great way. But you'll find that those who walked in such a way, or at least thought they walked in such a way, had no need for Jesus Christ. He's the medicine that you and I need. He's the cure that we'll have one day. But these folks didn't really need Him. And he didn't come to call them. Now, we notice over in Mark chapter 1, in verse 15, if I can get there. Jesus again, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Matthew 4 and 17. We're going to read a number of verses this morning because we want to get this established this morning that repentance is something that is an ongoing process and an activity that you and I ought to be involved in every day of our life. Matter of fact, sometimes more, numerous times in one day. Repentance is something that we ought to do. You know, we're sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. If a man says that he has no sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. Jesus didn't say stop sinning and become sinless, because he knew by nature we're sinners and we're going to still sin even when we're born of the Spirit of God. But he did simply say repent. We're told in Matthew 4 and 17, from that time Jesus began to preach. This is the preaching of our Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that ever preached. And to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we have this dominant note in Jesus' preaching of repentance. But if you don't know you're sick, you probably don't think you need any help. That's the message. We'll get back to that as we go this morning. Let's look at John the Baptist. Let's look at the emphasis of his preaching and the priority of his preaching in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. We find this throughout the Word of God. We find that it was the emphasis of Jesus' preaching, the dominant note in his preaching, also in that of John the Baptist. Let's notice the disciples in Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, talking about the 12 original disciples, and began to send them forth two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And we jump on down to verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Every one of us should repent. And every one of us probably need to repent every day. Do you ever go down the road and someone cuts you off and you have a couple of thoughts in your mind about those folks? And generally it's probably not kind thoughts either. It's probably thoughts that you don't want to express to me or anyone else around here. Do we need to repent of those thoughts? You see, when you begin to understand that Jesus deals with the thoughts and the intents of the heart, just like he does with those deeds that you and I perform, it brings sin into a whole different light. You know, there are none of us that are perfect or sinless. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're sinners and we will be till the Lord calls us home. Now, we think about the disciples. They preached repentance. Notice over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, we certainly know that the apostle Peter preached repentance. In verse 38, then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." You know, there are reasons that we repent. It's because we get to the point in life that we mourn over our sins. Sometimes we're brought to the end of our way. I know in my own experience that when I came to the end of my way in a journey or part of my life, I mourned my sins that I sinned against God. God is holy and righteous. And to this day, it bothers me extremely bad, the sins that I've committed against the holy and righteous God. Now, the Lord, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind us, we can't change them and we can't live in them. But I acknowledge that I mourn for the sin I have against a God who has been so good to me. He has blessed me with so much. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good. It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Did you know that? Until you see the goodness of God in your life, regardless of your circumstances or your challenges or whatever it is, until you see how good God has been to you, you may not be led to repentance. You may not have godly sorrow. We're told that in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, this is in Acts chapter 2, that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? God blessed the preaching on the day of Pentecost in such a way. These were children of God. Get that down right now. He was preaching to devout men out of every nation and tongue. These were born of the Spirit of God, and they had crucified the Lord, just like you and I have. We're just as guilty as they was of our Lord being crucified and nailed to that cross. And I tell you, they were touched at the preaching of the Apostle Peter. He preached on the day of Pentecost, and they were pricked in the heart. Now, there's a difference. You go to Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was preaching. Those men were cut in the heart, and their teeth were gashing. They didn't like what they heard, but these men were brought, I believe, in Acts chapter 2 to godly sorrow, the sorrow that they had for putting their Lord to death, being crucified, and dying on their behalf, just as it should be with you and I. And they asked, what can they do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Do we repent? Let's notice in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. The Apostle Paul here, the great Apostle Paul, he said, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Paul began to preach at Mars Hill in Acts chapter 7. And it amazed him at all the superstition that was going on there. And they had a sign there, and they worshiped the unknown God. This was the ignorance that was going on there. But Apostle Paul said that God commands us to repent. You know, we're called upon to repent, but God commandeth all men to repent. Preachers are to preach repentance. I believe that. I believe it's a subject we probably don't preach enough of. We notice in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 45, then opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Was that something that should have just been preached in that day? Do we still baptize folks? Absolutely. And repentance ought to be preached today by every God-called minister there is, because it's something that you and I need to take heed. We need to understand that repentance needs to be a part of our daily life. We need to repent of our sins. Then we know in the early church, we've been studying this on Wednesday nights, and we'll just go to one, but in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. This was a church that was full of zeal and doing well at one time. Sometimes God calls upon us to repent collectively and many times individually. But there were times you'll find in the Bible that God's people become hardened in their hearts. They become cold in their spirits. And they didn't repent. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is a long-suffering God. But don't think for a minute that he'll ever forego one of his promises. What God commands, he will bring to pass. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So we find that from the beginning of gospel preaching with Jesus Christ, through John the Baptist and the apostles and disciples and Peter and preachers that are commanded to preach today, repentance is supposed to be a very serious and essential subject preached upon. It should be a dominant theme in our preaching. We all need to repent. God didn't tell you to become sinless, but He commanded you to repent, simply to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means to reverse your course of action or thinking or to turn about. You know, people say they can't change. God says you can change. Amen. Repentance is change. I can't get over how many people will tell you, I just can't do that. That ain't what God's Word says. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you what God's Word is. He simply said repent. Turn about. Make a change. He says reverse. Turn about. A change of mind will issue in a change of direction in your life. Did you know that? As a man thinketh, so is he, we're told in the book of Proverbs. Thinking is where it begins, in the mind. How do you think about things in life, people in life? You know, we all have ungodly thoughts. I know we do. I have them. I'm pretty sure every one of us have had them, if we don't still have them. We have sinful deeds in our life. We have a need to repent, a need to change. I tell you, I believe it sums it up over in the book of Ezekiel. I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30. When we talk about this definition of repentance, when verse 30 says, therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel. I want you to understand the house of Israel. A lot of people don't pay mind to that because it's an Old Testament verse. But I tell you, it's representative of spiritual Israel, of God's people out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. When he's speaking to the house of Israel, he's speaking to you and I, his children. Everyone according to his ways. Not only does he call upon the house as a whole to repent, but he comes to us individually. Therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. You know, Proverbs says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You know, men are kind of like that song Frank Sinatra said, I'm going to do it my own way. And you know, we spend a lot of our lives sometimes doing that. Elvis made that song very popular too, I did it my way. But I tell you, most of us, when we do it our way, we're doing it the wrong way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Not eternal death, the ways of destruction is what that word means. Notice what it says here, saith the Lord. Repent and turn. There it is again. Repent is a turning. All you got to do is turn from what you're doing. God said, I'll give you the strength and the grace to do so. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Think about that for a minute. God didn't say, I'm going to kill you from the earth and put you away. But I tell you, he said iniquity can be the ruin of your life if you don't repent. He didn't say, stop and become sinless and never sin again. He simply said, repent. It needs to be a way of life. It needs to be the basic and essential part of our Christian discipleship. It really does. It is basic. But it's not the only part. It's not the only first part. It's something that needs to be a continuing activity in our life, repentance. Matter of fact, repentance needs to be habitual in our life. It does. It needs to be a habit that we have that we repent every day. Because I know, I live just like each one of us. I know that we have sins, especially in our thoughts. How we think of our brothers and sisters, our friends and our neighbors, our wives and our husbands and our children, and on goes these things. God knows our thoughts. I don't know your thoughts, but God does. And God knows my thoughts. I know my thoughts, and I can't hide them from the Lord, and neither can you. But rest assured, God is the one that searches the heart. He knows the motivation and the intent of every action that we have in our life. Let's notice what it says in the Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. This right here can be another very confusing verse to a lot of folks. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So often when we read that, something like that, our first thought is he's not talking to his children. He's not talking to us. He's talking to the non-elect, those who are not going to heaven. But that's not who he's talking to here. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Once again, he's speaking to his children. You know, I've had trouble with that verse in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 because the word wicked sounds so bad, it's no different. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then and then only will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's a strong verse, a verse that calls for you and I and the house of the Lord to repent. God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 3 that Peter said the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. We know that repentance is not what gets you to heaven. It was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. But the Bible yet calls upon his children to repent. God was not willing that you live a life where sin has ruined your life, iniquity has ruined your life, where you have no joy, no peace, no happiness in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We might have an abundant life. But when we do not repent and we do not see a need to repent, the Bible tells us that iniquity can ruin our lives. Isn't that amazing? I believe when iniquity ruins your lives and you fail to repent, you can eat and breathe and you can get along, but happiness and joy and peace will avoid you at all cost. The Lord will see to it. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye from your evil ways. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Then and then only. He didn't say after a while and you hadn't turned, I'll reconsider. He said, turn from your wicked ways. And wicked is a strong word, at least in our way of thinking. But all unrighteousness in the presence of God is wickedness. Did you know that? From the smallest of sins to the greatest of sins. Now, God didn't tell us what the small sins are and what the great sins are. You and I accomplish that. The lesser sins and the greater sins. The insignificant sins and the significant sins. That's something that man puts upon a list of sins. But repentance is essential to Christian discipleship. It needs to become habitual, a constant turning, an ongoing daily process. You know, we need to make a concerted effort. We really do. A deliberate moral effort, sometimes at great personal cost, to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Colossians chapter 3 says, mortify the members of our bodies, our natural bodies. Crucify the flesh. Put those things to death. The Bible calls upon us to turn. Turn. I ask you today, are you happy? Are you filled with joy in the Holy Ghost? Are you at peace? Have you called upon God and said, Lord, I'm in a dry land. I'm in a spiritually dry land. I need your help. Are we praying as we should pray? There's much that we need to repent of. I know that I do. Repentance is an ongoing process for the child of God, for the true Christian disciple. It's an everyday process, one that doesn't end. It's constant in our lives. Sometimes multiple times in one day do we need to repent. You know, there's one thing I learned. Some people don't understand that being a sinner by nature is what we are, but I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more natural. I don't care how long you study God's word and how often you try to walk in his ways, it's so easy to sin, is it not? It's so natural to our carnal flesh that we need the restraining grace of Almighty God to help us with that. We need to repent of those ways and call upon God for his strength to help us turn, to help us follow after him. We're not going to become sinless and perfect, but we ought to be striving to walk in his ways to glorify his name each and every day that we live. Repentance, as we think about it, is compiled of numerous factors. First of all, if you repent, you must feel a need to repent. I believe you must be driven to godly sorrow. Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe it is, verses 9 and 10. Paul said here, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry." He wasn't rejoicing because they were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. There was something that drove you to repent of what you is doing. You know, God is a jealous God. And he speaks tremendously about idolatry throughout the entire Bible, from the early days of the Old Testament to the days in which we live. An idol is anything in your life that's more important than he is. Matter of fact, he talks about your children, your husband, your wife, whatever it is. If you put that before God, it's an idol. And that's something that we need to repent of. It is. There's on. You can look up for all the sins that we have. We need to repent. And oftentimes, more times than not, do we need to repent. He says, "Now rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner." In other words, you've come to the point of understanding that my sins are a great offense to God, that I dishonored the Lord, that I brought shame upon his holy and righteous name, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. This wasn't something that Paul was sending out. He was just telling it like it is. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Iniquity will bring sorrow and ruin into our lives. It will bring destruction into our lives. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to get a picture here of what it means to have godly sorrow. When God can bring a man to the end of his way, and he sees his sins before a holy and a righteous God. In verse 17, Luke 15, "And when he came to himself," is that not the case every time? When we come to ourselves, when God brings us to the end of our way, when there's nothing left but God, "he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" Now, he's not talking about a perishing that is eternal. He's talking about in time. Let's go back. Verse 13. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." In other words, he was going out and having a party and a heyday and just doing everything that he wanted to do. But there was a change. It took place in him. He was already a son. Have any of you walked down this road in your lifetime? Have you been brought to the end of your way? Unfortunately, sometimes it takes that. You know, we're going to go back as we concluded from a few moments back to the 9th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus said, "I come not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance." He said, "One that is whole need not a physician, only one that is sick." I believe this young rebel son seen himself in a very sickly condition. He'd seen the symptoms of this condition called sin and this rebellion he had toward God. And he said, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen," verse 15, "of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." This fellow got himself in a bad way after all this living. But then he said, "I will arise," in verse 18, "and go to my father." Is that not what we ought to do every time? "I will arise and I will go to my heavenly father." There is truly no one else to go to. And unfortunately, in my life, and I feel like in many of your lives, it takes that circumstance in our lives to finally say, "Lord, you're all I've got. I commit myself unto thee. I'm going to change my ways." But you know, it would be nice if we could repent once and never sin again. But repentance is an ongoing process, a daily process. Are you unhappy? Are you discontent? Are you distressed? Do you know anybody that way? I believe this is what happened to this young man. He got in this condition. He was no longer content. He certainly wasn't happy. And he's seen all the sins that he had committed before his Heavenly Father. And he was mourning those sins. Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. He's seen those sins. And he said, I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. This is true repentance. He's seen his sin before a holy and righteous God. He's seen how exceedingly sinful he was. Do we need to repent? Do you live your life in a state of unhappiness? A state of discontentment? Stressed out all the time? Blown away by the cares and the difficulties and the troubles of this life? Are you filled with the joy and the peace and the happiness that can only be found in the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ himself? You know, he said over in Ezekiel that iniquity, if we don't turn from it and repent from it, it will be the ruining of our life. It'll ruin our lives. He didn't say it'd bring death and you can end. You know, Brother George used to say, he said, the Lord's going to leave me here to suffer. Well, I'm not sure that ain't what he does when we don't repent. He leaves us here to suffer a while longer for the sins that we commit. Now, he said that in a light term, but I tell you, think about it. You can exist in this life and have no living or life inside of you. You can have no real peace and no real joy and no real happiness in this life. And unfortunately, I believe in the times that we're living in, we got multitudes of people in that condition. They're out stressing themselves out, buying things that they don't need with money they don't have. I don't know what they're trying to impress. They're bringing stress into their lives of every degree. And friends, the Bible tells us that this will cause trouble. Listen to what God's Word says. Let God's Word speak to you. It'll make a difference in our lives. It's powerful. Read Hebrews 4 and 12. It's a powerful thing, God's Word. It can change our thought process. And when we change our thoughts and our minds, it'll change the direction we're going in life, our actions and our deeds. It's necessary if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that we should. Think about this elder brother for a moment. We're going to move over and close. He didn't rejoice, did he? He needed repentance just as bad as that rebel son. This is the good brother who stayed home and followed the rules. We all know people like that, don't we? He went to church. He done what his father said. And he wasn't going to be a part of that repentant son's party that the father threw for him. The Bible says that in heaven they rejoice over one sinner that repents. You can go back in the early part of this chapter and read that. There's great joy in heaven among the angels when one sinner repents. Repentance is taught throughout Scripture, and it's something that we need to be concerned with. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, and I'll try to close out. In verse 10 it said, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meal in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. The first thing you need to know is when Jesus allowed anyone to sit down with him, that was a token that they were accepted with him. That's what it meant back in that day and time. To sit down with Jesus meant Jesus accepted you. You were accepted to him. You know, everybody talks about accepting Jesus. Well, you know, the Bible tells us that he's the one that accepts us. And that's a token. He accepted these publicans. They were hated by most men because they were tax collectors. Nobody likes tax collectors, do they? But notice here he says, sinners. In verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, they didn't say it unto Jesus, but they said it to his disciples, why eateth your master, being the Lord Jesus Christ, with publicans and sinners? That's an important verse right there. Because they classified this group of people as sinners, it tells me that these Pharisees didn't think they were sinners. They didn't. Because they grouped this bunch together who were no count in their eyes, in poverty of all kinds, sick with all kinds of diseases, beggars, you name it. And they classified them as sinners and wanted to know why the Lord of glory wanted anything to do with them. That tells me that that bunch thought they were sinless. They didn't think they were sinners, or at least they thought what sin they had was insignificant. And I want to touch on that point for just a moment here. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." You know, them publicans and them sinners, they knew they were sick. And they knew the symptoms of their disease was sin, and they knew that Jesus Christ was their only hope. He was the only medicine that would do them any good. He was the only physician that could truly help them. But these Pharisees were getting along. Life was going on pretty good. And what I want you to understand is we can be the same way. We can have these lesser illnesses. You know, if somebody comes up and you go to the doctor or something starts happening to you and somebody says you've got cancer, you've had a heart attack, you're not going to live long, I'm going to tell you what, won't that draw our attention? Won't we go unto God in a different way? But as we have these lesser ailments, a lot of times we don't go to the doctor. We need as much cure sometimes as the older folks. But do we think as much of the lesser sins as we do the greater sins? And like I said, God doesn't put them in those categories, but we as human beings do. We don't think that to offend a brother or have a bad thought about a brother is the same as committing adultery or murder. Bible doesn't qualify them. I can tell you one thing. Every sin that you committed, no matter how little or how great it was, if it wasn't paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, you won't enter into glory with him. Did you know that? I don't care how insignificant it was, it had to be paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. By the blood of Christ, it had to be paid for. It may be a light sin in your mind. These Pharisees, if they thought they had any sin, it was very insignificant. Have we ever lived? Do we live our lives that way? Do we repent every day, or do we think we don't need to repent? Do we think that we need a physician? We can get into that state, can we not? What happened to the church at Ephesus? They were going to church. They were going through all the good motions. Up to verse 4, you'd have thought that was the perfect church. I mean, God commended them in every direction. But he said, your heart's not in it anymore. You've left your first love. And he says, unless you repent, I will come quickly and remove the candlestick. Unless you turn from your ways, iniquity will be the ruin of our lives. It may be the ruin of our churches, but it'll be the ruin of our lives, and very well could be the ruin of our families and everything else that goes on in life. God didn't tell us to repent to fill up the Word of God for no reason. It's an ongoing process that the true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ should be involved in on a daily basis. It should be habitual because we're going to sin. We've all sinned and we continue to sin. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We sin every day. As much as we strive not to sin, and I desire not to sin, but I do, God just simply calls upon us to repent, to turn. And he says, I can give you the grace and the strength to do just that. We can change. You know, change is hard. And the older we get, the harder it is to change. I know. I'm getting there. The older we get, the more set in our ways we are. We think we can't change. But God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who took a handful of dust and made you, said you can. Simply turn. Change your thought process. In changing your thought process, it will change the direction that you're walking in your life. It'll make a difference in your life. May God bless us to turn from our wicked ways. May God bless us to understand there is a need to repent. Sometimes I think when we go through life, we don't see a need to repent. We don't see the symptoms of the sickness we have because it's not a major sickness, or we don't consider it to be a major sin. But it still takes God's forgiveness. It still takes his blood, the blood of Christ, to pay for it. And God commands us to repent. It is my prayer that we'll all repent and we'll all do it every day and we'll see the need to repent in our lives. I know that I need it. And I pray that you see that. Because I think everyone in this congregation really wants to live a full life. One that is full of joy and hope and happiness and peace. So many of those things evade us, and I believe it's because we fail to repent. God said iniquity will be the ruin of our life. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but there is only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May God bless us to follow in that way and not our own way, and to repent each and every opportunity daily that we need to. And I know that's numerous times. May God bless you. It's my prayer this morning.